that. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we'll read verse 8 as we stand to our feet this morning. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I want to preach this morning, or I don't know about preaching, but discuss this morning, I'd say, concerning God's evangelistic movement, God's time of Him reaching the world for the gospel. It all began right here, and we must see it, I believe, in order for us to be part of it, is to believe when God began this evangelic movement to reach out to the world and that they may be saved. Amen? We find that in chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, gave them utterance." Chapter 3, verse 1. "And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Let's pray. Father, we come to the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we see the progression, Father, of what you have told your disciples and your apostles, Lord, to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And then we've seen the promise come. We saw the Holy Ghost of God and dwell and fill your people. And then we see Him go back out, dear God, in chapter 3, verse 1. God, we see at that point, Lord, how you began to evangelize the world. You began to reach, dear God, because of God's great grace. This morning, Lord, if we could just see how big and large your grace is. God, see how large this plan is. God, it's just not a plan that you set for this little old church in Stafford. But it's a worldwide plan. God, you desire that souls will be saved. God, I pray that we'd see it this morning. God, that you'd give us the ability to preach it and teach it. God, you give us the strength physically and spiritually. Oh, God, that you'd have your way, Lord, in our hearts and lives. Help it not to be a waste of time. God, help it this morning, dear God, to be beneficial and profitable. God, may it be for your children, and God, may it be that we may be on fire for the things of God. God, help us not to look at others and know they're dying and going to hell and do nothing. God, help us not to see people today, Father, as their color of skin. God, whether they is the status of life, but see them as a soul. God, seeing that that soul will spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. I pray, Father, the church will be burdened over these sinners, but God, that we would get unto the plan that you set forth many years ago. God, I pray, Lord, you'd have your way now in our hearts and lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There in Acts chapter 2 began a great worldwide evangelistic meeting, a movement. It was God from heaven that began it. It has not ended, but it started there. You said, well, where did it go back from? Well, if you turn your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 10. Let's go back for just a moment, then we'll come up to there to Acts chapter 2. But Genesis chapter 10, turn there with me. And I want you to see this morning just God and how He loves the world and how He has reached out to the world. And you ever heard or somebody ask you a question before? Is how can those people who have never heard the gospel die and go to hell? How can that be a God of grace? Have you ever heard that? Have you been asked that before? How do you explain that? That people out there in the depths of Ethiopia, down in the jungle, never heard the gospel, never been given a Bible, die and go to hell. How can that happen? How can that be so? How about there in Asia and the depths and there and where they live and out in the villages and never heard the gospel and die and go to hell? How about those in these Americas up in Mexico someplace and up in the mountains and never heard the gospel and die and go to hell? And you think, well, that's grace? That's God? I mean, where's God in that? It seems like that God would let those people go to heaven. They never heard the gospel. They never had a chance. They never had opportunity to reject Christ. Well, here, let's go back to where it all began, and that is Genesis chapter 10. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were the sons born after the flood." And so we understand the flood. We know that Noah and his three sons were in the flood. We know that Noah preached for 120 years of righteousness. And we know that only 8 were saved. And all the rest of the world died and perished into the water. Why did they die and perish? Because they rejected the plan of God. But there were 8 that lived. And so from this forward on, look in verse there in verse 32 of chapter 10. It says, "These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations and in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." And so these men and their wives heard the plan of God. They heard the grace of God, the righteousness of God. And because of them, the whole world now has come from the sons of Noah. And according to Scripture says, the nations, every nation that we have today has come from the sons of Noah. Every generation has come from the sons of Noah. The nations are divided in the earth after the flood through the sons of Noah. Is that true? Yes, that's true. All of us today are from the sons of Noah. From the very beginning, they heard God's truth. They heard God's righteousness, and their descendants rejected it. But see, God still has grace. And God still wants to reach the sons of Noah. That's you and I. That's the whole world. And so we think about the sons of Noah. We think about the descendants of Shem. You know, there was Shem, Ham, and Japheth, according to verse 1. We can study through history, and we study through the Bible about where is Shem today. Where is the descendants of Shem? Well, they go to places like Persia, Assyria, Asia Minor. You'll find that Shem is of the Orient. You'll find that Shem is of the Asians. That's where the descendants of Shem are from. Of course, that's where the Jew come out of, is from Shem. And so we find that portion of the world is determined in the way of Asian. Let's just use that terminology, Asian. And so that covers all of that region from Shem. Another region of the world would be called the descendants of Ham. Now the descendants of Ham would be covering a region of Africa, Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, in that region. It would be considered of a black man, of black in color and nature. That's where that part of the world where those people would come from, as well as the Asia Minor of Shem. We'll find of Ham being in that region of that people. That's where the descendants went. If you look up the geography of it, you look up the historical facts of it, you'll see that's where they're at and that's where they're of. We find descendants of Japheth, being of Europe, being of the Medes and the Greeks and the Turks and the Americas. You'll find that's the region of them. They call them the white man. So you have the white man, you have the black man, you have the Asian man, you have 3. That's what you make up today of. Amen? All the rest of us are just mixed in between those 3. And so we find in the way of truth, in the way of understanding the world and how God wants to reach the world with His gospel, there's only 3. That is the descendants of Shem, the descendants of Ham, and the descendants of Japheth. And it covers every one of us in that. And so it's amazing to me, though, that as I think about that, I think about God. I think about God and for 120 years preaching to the world there in the days of Noah and nobody being saved. And then the whole world was destroyed by water. And God could have said, you know what? I'm done with man. I'm done with them at all. I'm not going to ever try to redeem them. Not ever going to try to reconcile them anymore. Matter of fact, I repent that I even make them. And so, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to let them run in their own way. I'm going to let them do their own thing. I'm going to let them die off because that's what man wants. They don't want me. They don't want me to control their lives. They don't want me to be part of their lives. They want to do it themselves. We'll see what kind of world they have without me then. But that's not the grace of God. The grace of God said once again after the flood, you know what? I've got a plan. I'm going to reach the world for the gospel. And here in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find that plan being empowered. We find that plan being put to action. We find that plan through the Holy Ghost of God actually reaching the world. If you could think with me for just a moment, before Acts chapter 2 and the Holy Ghost of God, how many verses in the Old Testament is talking about witnessing? How many verses before Acts chapter 2 or chapter 1 that tells the people to go out and tell others about Jesus? None. You won't find no evangelical movement. You'll not find evangelistic movement in there. You'll not find anybody or anything or anyone saying, let's go reach the world for Christ or let's go reach the world for God. You don't find it. So Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 is in the empowerment of this plan of God reaching the world. But he's doing it through the sons of Noah. Now, we also have to know and understand that we got to start with one. So God has chosen to start with the sons of Shem. Who's the sons of Shem? The sons of Shem are the Jew. So let's look up to our Bibles in Matthew chapter 10. And let's look at what Jesus is saying, because this is another, sometimes to many people, disturbing because of what Jesus is telling the apostles. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus begins to teach the apostles because he is the one who's going to move this movement, going to move this God's grace into the world by salvation of the world. Jesus is. So he's telling his apostles, who's going to be the ones that are going to be there in Acts chapter 2, and the apostles who's going to be the foundation of the church. And so it's all coming together now. He tells them in verse chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 5, he tells them who's coming. He gives the 12 disciples, he tells them their names, and then in verse 5 he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Now listen to what he tells them. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Chapter 10 and verse 5 of Matthew. Go not in the ways of Gentiles. Well, Wait a minute. I thought that God had grace. I thought he was reaching to the Gentiles. What do you mean don't go to the Gentiles? That means don't go to the sons of Ham and don't go to the sons of Japheth. Don't go to them guys. Just go to the sons of Shem. That's what it says in verse 5. Go into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye but not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the sons of Shem. So we find that God chose that the sons of Shem, which are where the Jews come from as far as descendants are concerned, and God has chosen that this Shem, this Jew, is going to be the one which they're going to go to. So the apostles and Jesus is going to reach out to the lost sheep, the house of Israel, because they are first. Amen? There in chapter 4, in verse 22 of John, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and she said this, so Jesus said to her, he said, you worship you not what? You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So, the Word of God's telling us this morning, in God's grace, God wants to reach the world. But God has to choose and has chose that it's going to be the Jews first unto salvation. That salvation is unto the Jew first and then unto the Greek. Amen? And so we find in Jesus' teaching to his apostles that the Holy Ghost of God is going to come down and the church is going to be empowered and formed. He said, now before that takes place, I'm going to have to, and you as well. We're going to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and we're going to give them the gospel. We're going to reach them for Christ. So the Shem, the tribe, or the descendants of Shem are now being reached. You know, back in Genesis chapter 10, whenever they went out into all the world, they wasn't reached. But now they're being reached. And so we come to another thought this morning as the Jews are now the first ones that are going to be reached. We find that they're being descendants of Shem. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 8. So we find in Acts chapter 2 that all that were there at that period was the Jews. If you read that, we will in just a minute. But in Acts chapter 2, the only people at Jerusalem of that day was the Jews. It was the Jews in the upper room. It was the Jews who were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. It was the Jews that experienced the Pentecost. Not one Gentile, just a Jew. So at this point, God in God's grace has now reached the Jew for the cause of Christ. And look in chapter 8 now of Acts. And we find in this chapter 8 another remarkable story. Now, if you go to chapter 2 of Acts, don't turn there because we read it over many times over many weeks here now. It was the Holy Ghost of God that came, right? So it was the Holy Ghost of God that was in charge. Well, the Holy Ghost of God again in chapter 8 is involved. He says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down into Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia." Where's he from? He's a descendant of Ham. He's a second leg of Noah. He's the one back in Genesis chapter 10 that filled that whole region, that whole, all those nations. And now the Holy Ghost of God had reached down and had come to a man of Ethiopia. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't by just coincidence that the Holy Ghost of God was just moving down this road one day and he said, oh, there's a guy from Ethiopia. Let's go get him. No, it was done on purpose. You know why? Because God's grace. That's why. God wants to reach the world for Christ. He reached the Jew, and now he's reaching the very one of Ethiopia. He's what he says there in verse 27, "A eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over a treasure and came to Jerusalem for to worship." The Bible says, "And was returning and sitting on his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot." And so we find in God's plan. Now stay with me now. I'm not trying to confuse, amen, but I'm trying to bring some clarity that in the very beginning, God wanted to reach the world. He raised up Noah. And Noah preached for 120 years. He got rejected, and only 8 were saved. God said, instead of me just having rushing my hands over this world, I'm going to give them another chance. I'm going to, because of my grace, I want them to be saved. And so, in the midst of all that, he came to a time where he chose that he's going to choose Jew. He's going to choose the Jew. He's going to choose Abraham, the father of the Jew. And all through Abraham and all those years, and finally, we come to the place of Acts chapter 1. And he says that the Holy Ghost of God had come upon you. Come upon who? Come upon the church. Who's the church? Church has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came. Now the church is empowered. Now the church is filled with that witness. And now God says, now I'm going to reach the world. Amen? Just like I said. And so the first ones that he reached the Jew. That's the descendant of Shem. In Acts chapter 8, he reached the Ethiopian. That was the sons of Ham. Amen? And so we find the descendants of Ham. And then we go to Acts chapter 10, and there was a man named Cornelius. Cornelius wasn't one, again, that was just by accident. It was Peter that was fighting with the Lord. It was Peter that was in battle and raging with the Spirit of God. Peter was told by the Spirit of God to go to Cornelius and tell him about the things of God. In chapter 10, verse 1, "And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a certain of the band called the Italian band. Now, who is he from? He's from the tribe of the descendants of Japheth. Amen? And we find all three descendants now from out of Acts chapter 2 as those children of God were empowered and empowered with the Holy Ghost of God. And the Bible says they shall be witnesses unto Jerusalem. And that was where they were witnesses first, in Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. And now God has reached the Jew for Christ. Now God has reached the Shem for Christ and for Ham for Christ. And now Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a Gentile, Italian band. He has now reached Japheth for Christ. Early in this century, and we're talking about Jesus dying in 33 A.D., we find that it was only 50 days after Jesus resurrected, amen, we find the day of Pentecost coming. So we're looking in the early 30s of the age in which we live in 2017 today, in about 35, 34, around that area. We find now the Holy Ghost of God empowering the Jew, and now the Jew is gone to the Gentile, and now the Gentiles has now been reached by the gospel. And so when they ask us the question, where's the grace of God? How can God send somebody to hell? God didn't send nobody to hell. God has preached to the whole world back there in the days of Noah, and the whole world rejected him. And then God, in the second chance, he said, I'm going to send forth the Holy Ghost of God. And when the Holy Ghost of God comes, it's going to be a witness. You're going to be a witness unto me. And you're going to go around the world. And so next thing you know, the Jew gets to hear the gospel. Next thing you know, the Ethiopian gets to hear the gospel. And next thing you know, the Gentile, the Greek, the Italian one of Cornelius gets to hear the gospel. And every one of those people have heard the gospel. That's God's grace this morning. He has reached all of Noah's children with the gospel. Now, what has Noah's children did with the gospel? That's the question today. Now, not only is that the question, but what has you and I done with God's plan? Do we just throw that away in a daily walk? How many of us today are really concerned about souls? How many of us today are even praying or even crying or even burdened over somebody who might be a neighbor, who might be a family member, that might be a co-worker, that might be a church member, that might be a someone that you might know from a family friend that's died and going straight to hell when they die. And yet God went through all that in Noah's day to preach 120 years. And God went through all of that and that his son would be born of a virgin, that his son would come forth as sinless, that his son would die on a cross, that his son was resurrected, his son would be ascended, and that he had sent back the Holy Ghost of God on 50 days later after his resurrection. And now the Holy Ghost of God has come and empowered the church, has reached now Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And what are you doing? What are you doing for people that are dying and going to hell? Are we not the church that was empowered? Were we not the church that was given the power of the Holy Ghost of God and was told to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Were we not the ones that were given the gospel and being saved by the grace of God and by giving God giving us the power to go forth and to preach the truth that others would be saved? What are we doing? Say, what's wrong with the world? I tell you what's wrong with the world. They've lost the plan of God. We've lost sight of what God has done. And in God's grace, he could have gave up down at the flood. Secondly, he could have gave up down here at the day of Pentecost. And God could have gave up even today. But that's not God's grace. That's not God's love. That's not what God wants tonight. And you and I are pivotal in doing this. In order for the plan of God to work in the days of Acts, it took the church that was made up of Jews 100% to be empowered by the Holy Ghost and to move forward and to move out to reach the world for Christ. If it wasn't for the Jew going out, the Gentile would have never got saved. Now it's the Gentile today going back to the Jew. Now let's go to chapter 3. Now we find, finally, I know it may be some of yours, as Brother Larry, you have been on this chapter 1, chapter 2, wearing it out. And I have been wearing it out. I want to wear it out. I need to wear it out because I need to be wore out. But chapter 3, we find a moving now. We know that Luke has, he's the writer of Acts, and we know that Luke has reaffirmed in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, that the church is coming. He says that. He says, well, wait for the promise of the Father not many days hence. That was 10 days, matter of fact. That not many days hence is 10 days. He says the Holy Ghost is coming. The church is coming. And we find Luke also recorded in Acts chapter 2 that the church did come, has fully come, matter of fact. It's done, it's finished, it's through. No more. The church is here. It's empowered. But it's empowered to be a witness. A witness of what? A witness of God's plan. Luke revealed in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26, the Lord's church that goes out. Now this is how you and I as a church need to function and operate in our Christian life. Tonight, or this morning, I believe we have neglected the area of witnessing. I believe we have done much of everything else that could be of right. We have come to church. We have given our tithes. We have preached our messages. We have listened to the preacher. We have followed through with applying some principles of the Bible into our lives. Our marriages may be better. Our parenting may have become stronger. Maybe our work ethics have become greater. Maybe we have become a better person of society. Maybe of one of a citizenship of this world. We have become one that's of respect. And we can find in all through our lives how God has made differences and how God has changed my attitude, maybe brought a forgiveness in my heart. Maybe I'm not as bitter as I used to be. Maybe not having such wrath in my life. Maybe not being so jealous anymore. Maybe envy is not my problem anymore. Maybe I don't have a quick temper any longer. All these things, the Holy Ghost of God has done a work in me, changed me, informed me, and now I'm a better person. I look better, I act better, I do better than the day when I wasn't saved. But in the midst of all that, the whole message this morning is this. How about our witness? How about that? How about our witness? I feel sick physically this morning, but I feel sick spiritually. Me as a personal, as my Christian walk, I have to admit to God in the way of failure, in the way of not witnessing. As a church today, I must admit and confess that our witness has been very weak. And as a pastor of the church, I must take great responsibility and stand before God someday in the lack of witness. How are we going to gain back? How are we going to re-examine this? And if you don't think it's important this morning, well then you don't even believe in the flood. If you don't think it's this important that we need to even touch on this or reconsider this or have conversation concerning our witness, well then Acts chapter 2 don't mean anything to you. The whole world would have died off without Christ, without the empowerment of the Holy Ghost of God on Acts chapter 2. But because the Jews did get empowered, you find themselves going out. They went out to Cornelius, and they went out to the Ethiopian in order to reach the plan of God in the way of Noah. This morning we can come to a place now that Peter and John are about to go out, and I want you to notice how Peter and John and how we ought to as well. I'm not saying our witness this morning, and if you find this as we look, you'll not find that Peter and John went to knock on a neighborhood door. So if you're thinking this morning, well, Brother Larry, he's just trying to get us to go knock doors, that's not what I'm trying to get you. I don't find that in the Bible. All right, so some of y'all are sweating a while ago. Just kind of ease up a little bit. You don't have to go knock on the door, okay? You don't have to do that. Say, well, I don't pass out tracks either, you know, down there at the, when I go to Jack in the Box, give me two tacos, you know, and a cheeseburger with that sauce on it. Amen. You know, I don't pass out a track there. I must be a horrible Christian. I'm not talking about that either. I'm talking about you and I this morning in our daily walk, in our daily life, being witnesses. How does that work? How does that do? How can we be a witness today? How, do we have to make such big issues and big things about all this? No, here's how you do it. I could say to you that, oh, Peter and oh, John, there in verse 1, they were just going to the temple hour of prayer. There was three times in one day that you can go to the hour. It's called the hour of prayer. It was 3, 6, and 9. And so you could go there in the morning, go there at lunch, and go there in the evening to go pray. It was a common that day. There was a time when the church or the temple of this day, the temple actually had their doors open. It was always open 24 hours a day. You do that today, we'll have stuff missing. But we find that in verse 2, it says, "And a certain lame, a man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them, and they entered into the temple." Now, there's nothing different going on just yet. I mean, Peter and John, after the Holy Ghost of God has come upon them, now they're going to the temple. I want to ask you a question. And if you know it, then, you know, think about it, and you can give it to me later. But where in all, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did you ever see Peter and John go to the temple to pray? I can tell you, it's not in there. But once the Holy Ghost of God came upon the church, upon Peter and upon John, guess what they did? They went to pray. And so now they're going to pray. Now, while they're going to pray, it's not unusual that this lame man from his mother's womb was carried. In other words, they've been doing this a long time. This temple was here way before the church was empowered. This temple was going on way before Jesus even died. But this man being laid at this temple, at the foot of the temple, the door of the temple, you'll find he's doing it for one purpose. He's not trying to be smart or trying to be funny. He's trying to get money. All right, so he goes and he figures if there's anybody who's generous, anybody who's going to give him anything, surely it's got to be people who go to the temple. And so they lay him at the temple. And so when he come, they laid him at the temple. And when they entered into the temple, they see this man. Look at verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John, went about into the temple, asking alms, asking for money. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Something new has just taken place. Something now is different about this. Remember, the Lord said that He's going to be a witness, and you're going to be a witness. And after the Holy Ghost of God comes upon you, you'll show power. And when that power comes upon you, be witness. And so now Peter and John still don't have money. I mean, they got heaven. They got all the power of heaven. The Holy Ghost of God now indwells in them. And friend, you'll find that they can heal people. I mean, they can raise the dead. They could drink poison. They could be around a snake and bite them and not hurt them. I mean, they can speak in other tongues. They got all these powers. They got all these miracles. They got all these signs. They got all these things that they can do, these apostles can do, and yet they ain't got no silver and gold. What happened to that prosperity gospel? What happened to that? I mean, you know, it didn't happen on that day. They didn't have no money. But here's the witness. I don't have all that you need or what you want, but I do have this. I have in the name of Jesus. You see, that's the witness that will empower you to witness to the world around you. It's not about all that you have. It's about Jesus. It's about the name of Jesus. About the name of Jesus. Now, how do we live with that thought in our minds about the name of Jesus? How has the name of Jesus played a difference in your life? How has the name of Jesus at all been from your lips? Has the name of Jesus at all been an answer to those that have been around you? Is the name of Jesus the answer to those that are hurting and those that are suffering and those that are doing without? Is the name of Jesus, and that fact of the matter is that Peter is saying, I'm not telling you about the name of Jesus because it's something that I heard. I'm telling you the name of Jesus because something that I experienced. I'm a witness of this man named Jesus. I'm a witness of the power in which he has. I'm a witness that he can do and will do as he said he's going to do. And friend, that's what a Christian's all about, being empowered by the Holy Ghost of God, is that we, our answer to everything, our answer to all things is Jesus. And that's the church that the Lord is trying to reach the world with. It's not a rich church. It's not the church of great resources, and a church that covers blocks and miles, that has big schools and has all kinds of theologians and has all kinds of this, that, and the other. No, the church that he's looking for, the church that he empowers, and the church that he wants to use is the church that just has the answer. And the answer is Jesus. And for Glory Baptist Church, that's the only witness that we need to do. When we leave out of here, and wherever you go, and whoever you talk to, and whatever comes up, you don't go out there and just begin to preach to people and turn them off and tell them they're how wicked and ungodly and they're going to die and go to hell, bust hell wide open, and you talk that kind of language to them. That don't win anybody to nobody. Oh, but when you become friends and you become associates, you become co-workers, you become family members, you sit down and you're talking about what Jesus has done in your life and what Jesus can do for them, and that Jesus is the answer of their life, and Jesus can be a help to them, and Jesus would be a blessing to them, and Jesus would be something that they can hold on to and trust in and lean on, and that their lives would be changed forever. That's the witness that this church must somehow adapt. Amen? We're not talking about and we do need to knock on doors. I'm not against that. And we do need to go down to the markets and pass out tracts. I'm not against that. I'm not against preaching on the street corner. I'm not against going to the jails and prisons. I'm not against going to the nursing homes and places of that nature and going to the malls and the restaurants and become a tract distribution maniac. I'm not against any of that stuff. But I am for what God wants. And that is, if we can just be a witness when we go to lunch today, that Jesus is the answer. And then when we get up in the morning, he's the answer. And then tomorrow when we go to work or go to the family or friends, he's the answer. And we get out into the business world and out into the retail world, and I'll just be honest with you. If you just have a little bit of smile on your face when you're standing in line down at Walmart, somebody's going to tell you their life story. Is that true? There's a many times, and I'm not saying I'm the smiliest guy in all the world, but I try to seem to be make myself happy. And you're in line, you're waiting, and I mean this is our world. We got Walmart that covers 10 acres, right? They got billions of products. They got 100 of those cash registers, and 2 are open. Does that make much sense to you? No, that's the ridiculousness of this world in which we live in, right? So while you have 100 people, you're waiting in line, everybody's in 2 lines. You look over there and you got like 17 of those people wearing these little blue jackets, drinking coffee, eating a donut, and over there at McDonald's with a Big Mac in their hand. And you're over there in line. Then you got people there that's about 600 years old greeting you at the front desk doing most of the work when you come in. Let me see your ticket. I mean, it's just, do y'all experience that? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, though. In the midst of all that, somebody's going to tell you something. And that's the time. It's Jesus. It's just him. And you'll be amazed at what kind of witness you can be whenever the answer that you give, Jesus.
It's just Jesus. See, that's how it worked right here with John and Peter. That's how it began, and that's how it still can work today. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We think we got to get chick tracks out there. We think we got to pass out 100 a day. Let me tell you something, friend. There's no greater witness than just talk to one person and tell them with your own mouth, with your own heart, with your own expression, with your own feeling, that Jesus is the answer, than give 100 tracts. I'm going to tell you. People like one-on-one. They like to hear. You say, man, it was Jesus. Let me tell you what happened to me that day. Jesus did this for me. Jesus did that for you. Yeah. If we ever get into the, I won't use the word habit because that's sort of fleshly, but get into the mindset that I'm just going to tell everybody the truth, and the truth is just Jesus. And that's our answer. Not Trump. Not Trump. If you say Trump today, you might get shot. Man, it's not Trump. It's not the Republican Party. It's Jesus. Jesus. He's the answer. And I find the Lord's church answer is Jesus. He said, I don't have what you need materially. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, friend, you don't have what people have, what they need materially. Is that true? I mean, if you gave, every time somebody says, give me something materially, you'd have no materials. That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? I mean, so we can't give materially every time. We don't have what they need physically. Right? I mean, verse 12, Peter said this. He said, and when they saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this, and why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? So what Peter's saying to him, it's not because of my physicality. It's not because of physically I did something to this man that he walked. He'd been doing this for years. I told him that Jesus can, and Jesus did. He healed him. He took the man, and now the man can walk. It's not because of my material. I don't have no material. Because, and here's probably another thought. Say that Peter did have some gold and silver. He may have gave him gold and silver, brother, and never been able to walk. What kind of gold and silver would be? Hey, if you give those people out there, I know you stop at the car down at the red light or down at the bridge or something like that, and they got those pails of waters, and they got these little things in their hands, and they want to do all kind of wash your window and all that kind of stuff, and have all these little signs and all that kind of stuff. You say, you know what, I think I'm just going to give them a dollar. Just give them a dollar, give them a dollar, give them a dollar, give them a dollar, give them a dollar. There's not $1 ever put anybody into heaven. No. I ain't giving them nothing. Well, you don't have to give them anything. But to be a witness, it's not what you give them materially. It's not what you give them physically. But be a witness is what you give them spiritually. Amen? It's a spiritual witness. Jesus is the answer. Do you know how many people today around you just want to hear that from you? They want to hear from that Jesus is the answer. They want that. Not the church is the answer. Oh, go talk to Brother Larry. Don't do that. Brother Larry don't have all the answers. This church is not the only church, and this church is not the church that most people won't even come to and even talk about. Oh, but if you get them in love with Jesus, I promise you they'll be in love with this church. You know why? Because this church talks a little bit about Jesus. Is that right? We sing a little bit about Jesus. So if you're interested in Jesus, this will probably be your church. But it's going to take you and I to get to the place where Jesus is the answer. Not because we have anything materially or physically, but we have something spiritual. Let me close. See, it's what we have spiritually that brought this man to be able to walk. I like the story in verse 7. He says, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. He leaping up, stood and walked and entered into them, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, isn't that what we want people doing? You know, think about it this morning, dear folks. How many people do we know today that we would love to see? Now, just think about it for just a moment.
We'd love to see them entering, look at verse 8, entering with them into the church. How many people would you love to see enter with you into this church? How many would you see, love to see, when they enter into this church, they're walking, they're leaping, praising God? Think about it. Let's put a list in our hearts. And then let's put a list on some paper of how many people would we love to see enter into this church with you. And while they're here, they're leaping and praising God. What's it going to take? It's going to take you being a witness. Not materially, not physically, but that Jesus is the answer. I mean, I could look at every one of y'all, and I know some people in your own lives that you wish it would come in here with you. God gives us a way. Today, we just got to fall on our face and beg God for forgiveness of just getting out of His way and letting God do work in us so that we can see what God wants to do. As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. I know I didn't do much justice this morning, but please forgive me. I did all I could. Oh, may the Holy Ghost of God just move into our hearts today with such soberness and such seriousness that we begin to live this life of a Christian that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the answer. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Burden your people. Break your church. And if you need to be saved this morning, won't you come and get saved? How much longer are you going to fight this world and die and go to hell? How much longer are you going to be rebellious and stubborn against the grace of God? You can't win. You can't win. Why you keep on trying to fight? You'll lose every time. And the loss will be hard. Oh God. Oh God, put great conviction on sinners this morning. God, put great hurt and suffering upon those today, God, who just want to keep on rebelling against You. Then I pray for the Christian today, Lord, that You'd put a great burning within their hearts that I'm just going to witness. I'm going to just be that one that Jesus is the answer. You sing, Brother George. Oh, some have come. Would you come? Lord, I'm just going to be that witness. I want to walk in this room with some people. I'd love to see my son, his wife, his children, my daughter. I'd love to see my mom and dad, my sister and brother. Oh, I'd love to see them come in this church with me. It's going to take a witness to do that now. It's going to take a witness of the Holy Ghost of God. God wants to win them. God's not willing that any should perish. But it's going to take your witness to do it. They got to know, and you got to know it's just Jesus. He's the answer. He's the answer this morning. It's not the work. It's not the doctor. It's not the financial institution. It's not the retirement. It's not the money. It's Jesus. 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 All Jesus. Let's just end our service here this morning. Thank you for being here. May the Lord bless you. Father, we come to the name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, I want to give You thanks for letting me come. You know how much I missed on Wednesday. God, You know how much I wanted to be here. And I just took a toll on my heart, dear God. And I thank You for letting me be here. It's such a privilege, such an honor, Lord, to be back in the midst of Your people. And
God, here amongst God, the people of the Lord. I ask you now, Lord, that you'd help us to see what we are to see today, Father, that we'd be just a witness. God, there's just not one word to explain what all that means, but it just means that Jesus is the answer and that our lives live that way and we respond that way. And Lord, that all the others who know us just know that we believe and we know that Jesus is the answer. And without Him, dear God, you will have nothing and be nothing. Father, we're asking this morning, Lord, that you do a work in our hearts, build our church. God, I pray, Father, that you'd help us to come together, Lord, and to grow. Father, that we may see a multitude of people being saved and may see a harvest, dear God, here soon. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would begin this morning as we go out to our homes, that we would be just that witness, Lord. And Father, thank you again for truth, how you just brought it back all the way to Genesis chapter 10. And Lord, how you reached the sons of Noah here in Acts. And God, your plan is just remarkable and undeniable. Father, I just want to be part of it. I ask you that this church, dear God, would just get in. We thank you for our visitors, and we thank you for those who have come this morning. God, I pray you save the lost still who'd never come to repentance. I pray you help now. As we go home, we'll come back. In Jesus' precious holy name, I pray. Amen and amen.